All right, welcome to This and That Podcasting Podcast. I'm Alex Bauer, here with my best friend Kyle Dobis. This is episode 15. Today is Thursday, March 13th, 2025. Happy 313 Day to those who all celebrate, those of us that like this day for that reason. We're going to talk about the week that we just had, review it, see what we did with pick top five to actual top five. Got a new entertainment segment coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about the conference tournaments that are taking place right now.
It's March Madness.
It's March Madness already, folks. And a little bit of that upcoming week as well. Just I got a few hockey games to cover for my upcoming week. And then, yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to really get too much fantasy focus this week and next week. I figured we talk about the tourneys and March Madness. It's going to take up some time, especially when we're going to kind of do our own little brackets here for the conference tourneys, kind of like our pick 'em. So we'll get back to fantasy at some point. But right now, we got to concentrate on fantasy, our March Madness, a little hockey, a little baseball, and then we'll get into some gambling, man.
All right. Obviously, we'll bring it on home after all that, and got a little bit of a surprise to things to talk about with this Homeward Bound. So, all right, my pick top five to my actual top five. I think I went 2 for 5. My two that I hit and got right, I got the Alabama Auburn game.
You mean 2 out of 3?
Yeah, well, it's 2 out of 5. 5 total. There's five picks.
You went 2 for 3. You don't want to count your losses.
If I'm doing wins and losses, yeah, I won 2 and lost 3. But at this point, it's a ratio, Kyle. It's a ratio. Yeah, 5 chances. I only hit 2 of the 5 chances.
The ratio is not good. And the when ratio, you say 2 for 3.
The ratio is actually better when you say 2 for 3. You got 2 out of your 3 picks. Yes. 2 for 5 sounds worse than 2 for 3.
Fair enough. But anyways, enough math.
Enough math for now. This is not why we signed up for this.
No, we didn't come here to do school.
I think we hit on the head. I think you picked this game too to be in the top five with Alabama Auburn going in overtime, yep, and then Alabama winning 93-91 on a 3-point game winner by Mark Sears. I'm giving him the player of the game for me since he hit that game winner. And yeah, he came out with 9 points and 3 rebounds, and I'm pretty sure he did a lot of other stuff that just doesn't show up on the score sheet. So
yeah, no, he did. I figured we'd talk about that since we can talk about it together since we both had that as our picked and top games. I went 2 for 3 also. Now it was 1 of my 2. So
yeah.
Sears definitely deserved to be the player of the game on that little. It was weird because it's like Auburn just like kind of forgot to guard him right at the end, and he just got open for a little floater for the 2-point win. But I'm actually giving the player of the game, not to Sears. I'm going to give it to the Auburn player. Johnny Brougham played lights out. They had 34 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 blocks, which is crazy. Even though they didn't win, it's hard to not give him a player of the game. Nah, at least a nomination since you went with Sears. Yeah. But, yeah, overall, that was an awesome game.
Yeah, it was a pretty big game to watch, that's for sure. And then the second game, pretty sure you picked that along with me as well, as the Florida-Alabama game going down to the wire. Florida winning 99-94. I gave the player of the game to Alex Condon, coming out with 27 points and 10 rebounds.
Yep.
He played a heck of a game. Yeah. And then obviously I picked the wrong team in both these games. I picked Auburn to win, and then I picked Alabama to beat Florida. Same. Like I completely chose wrong. Yep. But
I didn't think Florida was going to be able to go into Alabama and win that game. That's hard to win. Like, at the beginning of the year, it was like SEC teams couldn't win on the road. Now it seems like SEC teams are just only winning on the road. So
yeah. But that was
I mean,
like,
yeah, I had to, that was good.
No, you're good. I interrupted you.
No, I was just saying, yeah, I literally had Connor as my player of the game, too, getting the double-double with 27 points and 10 boards, but that was a big win for Florida, so definitely boosted them up. They're probably going to be a solid one seed or a two seed coming into tournament time, depending on how they do here in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, if they, I would see if Florida wins their first game, they got possibly match up against Alabama again. And it will be down to that game. If they are matching up again in the SEC tournament, whoever wins that is going to be a one seed, and whoever loses is going to be a two seed.
Be the two, yep.
And, yeah, that's just what it's going to come down to. And, yeah, if either team doesn't even make it to that game, then it's a for sure fact that the team that, you know, if Florida loses before they even make that quarterfinal to face Alabama, or if Alabama loses that quarterfinal to face, you know, potential Florida, they would probably automatically be bumped back to that two seed.
Yeah, they'll probably both be a two.
Yeah. So, well, that's the thing is, like, if the, if they they make it to the quarters, in my mind, either of them, they can easily be the one seed. It's literally, for me, it's between the two of them for the for like that third or fourth one seed, because you have Auburn should be almost auto lock in one seed, Duke, and then Houston. And I don't
think those are your three ones for sure.
Yeah, I don't think their conference, you know, tournaments are going to affect that one seed for either three of them.
No, I think all three of them are locked.
So yeah, right now it's really a toss up between Alabama or Florida or even Tennessee. Like if Tennessee just makes a surprise run and they go out, because they're the four seed, so they make it to that quarterfinal, they got to play Auburn and they got to beat Auburn. And if they do, they've probably got themselves locked in as that one seed. So yeah, there's a lot on the line there.
There's a lot. There is a lot.
I
mean, yeah, because I could see, yeah, I agree. They're, the three locks are those three ones. I see if, like, Florida or Alabama don't make it to the SEC final in their tournament and Michigan State wins out and wins the Big Ten, I think Michigan State could actually end up sneaking into that one spot. Because right now I think they have them as the number one two seed, I believe, as projected, that the KenPom does.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if, yeah, there needs to be a lot at play. But I think if Michigan State wins out, they could take that last one seed, because especially if Alabama and Florida
if they both like have a flunking kind of seat.
If neither one of them make it to the finals and Michigan State wins it all, I think they'll take that last one seed.
Yeah, that I could easily see that happening. Going back to our week in review, with the three that I missed, obviously Maryland, Michigan, chose the wrong team for this one, choosing Michigan to win. Maryland wins 71-65. The other game that I picked to be in the top five, which I don't think it really deserves to be up in there, which is the ACC Women's Championship. Duke, NC State. Duke wins 76-62, very handedly. NC State had a lead at the half to where you thought NC State could pull it off, but Duke just kind of turns things around and they pull off the win. And obviously, I chose wrong because I predicted Notre Dame to win the ACC championship, and they weren't even in the game. Duke beat Notre Dame in the semifinals, so it'll be a little bit different look for Notre Dame going into the tournament now. We'll see what happens on Selection Sunday to them. And then obviously, Michigan State-Michigan game was also a miss. Michigan State just kind of making a statement of Michigan winning 79-62, but I predicted right. Predicted Michigan State to win this game. Same. It was hard to see Michigan going into East Lansing and winning.
Yeah, they're just in a slump right now. They can't shoot. They can't. That's literally what we talked about last week. Michigan can't shoot threes. They turn the ball over way too much again, and they can't make free throws. It's that. The shooting is what worries me the most with Michigan right now, because I could deal with like the 14, 15 turnovers a game like they had been doing all season, but still winning. But they were winning because they were shooting like around 38, 40% from three. The last month, they're shooting like 18% from three the last month. So going from 40% to 18% is why you're losing games. They got to make threes. So I don't know. I don't know if they can turn around. We'll see.
Hopefully they can. I mean, with a tough matchup, probably going to be against Purdue. I don't know if the team.
I'm praying for a USC upset.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you're hoping USC beats Purdue, but I don't know how USC can fare against Purdue, especially in a tournament type of game. You just think that Michigan's not going to really pull off that win, but I feel like they're going to learn from that in my mind and probably win the first round in NCAA. Because it's
maybe depends on their match, depends on the matchup. Yeah. To me. I mean,
because like that's just like how right I now feel. There's got to be somewhat of a bounce back game for these guys, and they need it bad.
They need to bounce back in the Big Ten tournament. They can't to me, they have to beat Purdue. They got to beat Purdue. I don't care if you lose the next one, but I'll take that back a little bit. I don't think you have to beat Purdue. At least play better and lose to Purdue close. Like, if you come out and you're making threes and didn't turn the ball over as much and then you lost a close game, I'm okay with that going into the tournament. I can't see these last games were how they played against Michigan State, how they played against Illinois, basically the last month. If they do that again against Purdue, I'm 100% out on them. They're losing the first round because they're going to be like a six seed, I think. They're almost a lock as a six seed right now, and that means they're going to be playing a decent team, probably an SEC team, honestly. So, and I'm out on Michigan at that point.
Yeah. So, but, what were your...
Yeah, my other picked off...
Yeah.
Yeah, my other pick top fives were the same as yours. I'm trying to see which one I had different. I think I had Auburn and A&M was the only one different I had.
Yep, yeah, that was it.
And that was not really a good game either, so.
Yeah. we'll skip over that.
Yeah, so all of my picks were basically the exact same as yours. I do recall I said when we talked about the Michigan-Maryland game, I said, honestly, I think Maryland's going to win this game, but I'm going to pick Michigan anyways. And I should have just went with my gut on that one.
I remember that.
Yeah. But my actual three that we already talked about the two that I had for my top five that were in the top five, the Florida Bama, Bama Auburn. My next one I had was St. John's beating Marquette 86-84 in overtime. That was a top 20 matchup against St. John's 6. It was a great game. Came down to the wire. Gave it to Kadari Richmond for St. John's. He had the first triple double for St. John's. I think it said since 1997 or 1999 or something like that. It was crazy. He had 10 points, 12 rebounds, 11 assists. So that's pretty cool to see him. He might be at the player of the week then at that point, getting a triple double. That's hard to do in college basketball.
Oh, for sure. That definitely belongs up there in the top five because I've got them too. And same guy.
Yeah, and that was
same guy for player of the game.
That was awesome. Yeah, he had to. It's the first time in, like we said, like 20-something years, 30 years. So, since we already hit that one. You probably have this one, too. I have Cal versus Notre Dame in men's college basketball. I don't know if you put it in there, but I know the game didn't matter for standings whatsoever, but how can you not put a four overtime game in college as a top game? Like, that was pretty cool. It finished Notre Dame 112 to Cal 110, but it went to four overtimes, which is insane. And Notre Dame's player, Marcus Burton, had 43 points in that one. So it was a pretty cool game. Didn't mean anything into the conference, but it was just cool to see a four overtime game at the last game of the season.
Yeah, for sure. And then, give those guys like a good send-off for sure.
that was pretty cool. And then my last one, I had Houston beating Baylor 65-61. It was a close game. Houston wins on the road. To me, they look like the only team with like Auburn that are my like top two to win the like national championship. I'm sold on Houston now. Like I was always the last few years, I've been like, they don't really play that many teams or really the best teams. But this year, Big 12 looked pretty good this year, so I'm in on Houston. They look awesome. LJ Cryer had 23 points for him again. He's their stud, and they play really good defense. But overall, that game was a really good game.
Yeah, well, I kind of went split with you for the last two then. I'm giving top five, the bottom two really, to Ole Miss, Tennessee. Ole Miss beats number four ranked Tennessee 78-76. Yep. I'm giving the game, player of the game, Dre Davis, 13 points and 10 rebounds, gets the double-double for Ole Miss. And, that game was just like a big surprise for everybody. It could end up as an upset of the week, really, but I've got a better upset of the week because we broadcasted on Tuesday, and the upset of the week happened on Tuesday. But before I get to that, the fifth game in the actual top five games of the week, I got number 23 BYU beating number 10 Iowa State in double overtime, not four overtimes like you said.
Yeah.
But they win 88-85.
Still big.
Yeah. Player of the game, Richie Saunders. Getting 23 points and 6 rebounds. And then my honorable mention is going to the Big 12 Women's Championship. TCU and Baylor getting down to the wire. TCU wins 64-59 in the championship and giving Van Lilith her first championship of her career, which was pretty big for her.
It's kind of crazy that didn't they not win the SEC championship?
No, LSU, no.
When she was with LSU?
No. South Carolina's won it the last 3 years in a row.
That's crazy. This is her first championship, and she's been like on a good team every year. It's kind of crazy.
Because she was on the LSU team when they lost to NC State.
Did she?
And then she went to LSU.
Did she not win one with Louisville either?
Nope. They played NC State, and NC State won, and then she went to LSU, and they lost to South Carolina. And then TCU, and then she wins it with TCU. So,
well, good for her.
Give that my honorable mention.
So, my honorable mention, it was a seven-point win, but Kansas beating Arizona 83-76. I gave it to my honorable mention just because the game was actually really close. It was back and forth. Arizona was up by like 5 or 6 at one point in that game, and Kansas came back to win. And a game Kansas needed a win. So it was a really good game. Our ex-Michigander, Hunter Dickinson, gets the player of the game on that one with 33 points and 10 boards. So he got another double-double. Tied his career high. That was my honorable mention. My upset of the week is probably different from yours, but because I know you're the one you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I actually chose Penn State upsetting number 12 Wisconsin, 86-75. Penn State going into Wisconsin. Penn State going into Wisconsin, who's a top 12 team, and beating them by double digits. That's a huge win for Penn State. I mean, it didn't mean anything for them. They don't get to go to the tournament, but yeah, it was that.
Yeah. And with my upset of the week, I got number 22 Texas A&M beating the number one team, Auburn Tigers, 83-72. Big upset happened tonight after we made our broadcast last week. Obviously, the one that I picked didn't happen because I picked Kansas State to beat Iowa State, but Iowa State wins 73-57. So I guess I'll just take that L and just look at the horse in the mouth, you know, the gift horse in the mouth, and take the big Texas A&M over Auburn win.
Yeah, that was on my top five games of my predicted ones. I didn't count it because A&M was kind of just like beating the snot out of them most of the game. So it wasn't really a great game, but it was an awesome upset.
Yeah, it was. It was definitely an upset of the week not to be in the top five. Yeah. That's why I put that one down there, and I put the Ole Miss and Tennessee one up because that one was actually a better game. But it still, I think it deserves to be an upset of the week, but it more or less deserves to be in the top five. So moving on to some conference tournaments now. Get ready for the madness, people. Get ready for it.
Yeah, the madness is upon us here. So, yeah, I mean, I know we're missing out since we're doing this on a Thursday. We're kind of missing the first round, half of the second round for these. But it's
the ACC that gets started this early. I made my picks on Wednesday.
Yep.
On
I did too. I'm not cheating. I got it.
Well, I just typed mine in while I was working baseball yesterday.
I had to write mine. Yeah, I had to write mine. I wasn't gonna remember it.
Yeah, but
so who do you want to start with?
So I don't know how many brackets you did on your side. So I just went.
I did the main ones. Okay. ACC, Big 12, Big 10, SEC.
Well, if you look at my script in the conference tournaments, I have all the conferences that. My job that I work at Learfield, these are all the conferences that come through us. So I'm picking pretty much every conference that we cover from our stations because we have at least one or two teams in each of these conferences. So I feel like I have the necessary need to talk about this just for my own health.
That's fair.
So, we're going to start right here in our good old hometown of Charlotte, North Carolina. Just kidding. The good old ACC tournament. I've got Duke to win it all. I picked them to win it all. I picked them to face off against Wake Forest, but It's not really looking good for me right now. I got the Wake Forest Carolina game going on right now, and then I got them facing Clemson in the championship and to beat Clemson.
Okay. Okay. So when I filled mine out, I had Pitt beating Notre Dame to go and play UNC, and I had UNC beating them. So basically my matchups were, like, for today's games, I had Duke, Virginia, which I lost that one because I had Virginia beating Georgia Tech, but Georgia Tech won. So I had Duke, Virginia, Wake Forest, UNC, Louisville, Stanford, Clemson, and SMU. So winning for going into the semifinals, I actually have a rematch. I have UNC and Duke going for round three. I had a Louisville going up against Clemson, and I had UNC upsetting Duke. To me, it's hard to beat a big-time rival like that three times in a row. So I'm going to go with UNC can come back and win that one here.
Well, and in then your favor, I'm sure you saw the news from earlier.
What? I was
Cooper Flagg getting hurt.
Did he get hurt? Did he end up getting hurt?
He's not playing the rest of the tournament.
Oh, man, look at that. My prediction.
Look at that.
Look at that.
When that happened, I was like, oh, no. He comes down. He goes up for a layup, and he comes down on a Georgia Tech player, rolls his ankle. He's going off on a wheelchair, and he had got taken to the hospital and checked on, and, yeah.
Probably got a bad sprain. Probably has a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, and the coach came to the press conference after the game, and he said, yeah, we're not going to risk playing him the rest of this tournament. We're going to rest him until the NCAA, which is very smart of them to do.
It's smart. The tournament doesn't matter. They already won the regular season. So, my finals, I have UNC and Clemson. UNC taking the championship for my ACC bracket.
Okay. I like that. All right, so moving on to the SEC, not much further away from us. I've got Florida winning it all. I'm going to get paid, going to get some money, hopefully get some swag out of all this work that I've been doing lately, you know.
Is this a shout-out to Learfield?
Just a little bit. I've already said their name.
Shout out to Learfield here.
Shout out
to Learfield. I said it twice now.
Uh-oh. We're going to get in trouble.
Random company.
We don't know. And I've got them beating Auburn. But the thing is I could see Tennessee turning things around and, upsetting Auburn as the four seed. Yep. But like I'm very hesitant of doing that because Auburn's just a very strong team and they can get things done. And I'm sure after that loss to Alabama, they have something to prove. And so, yeah, they're going to make it to – I feel like they're going to make it to the final no matter what. It's really just going to come down between Florida and Alabama if they do match up against each other to where who's going to be the stronger team. And I think with them – winning that game, because this will be the second time that these two teams matched up against each other. Florida won in the regular season, and Alabama, won against Auburn the last game of the regular season. So if it does come down to Auburn-Alabama, Auburn might get their revenge. But if it comes down to Auburn-Florida, that game was a little bit further out to where – Florida kind of it happened to where Florida kind of figured out what Auburn's weaknesses were, and they played to that advantage, and they got things done. So that's why that's my pick.
Okay, that's fair. I like it. I disagree a little bit with you. I do like.
Well, it's just because most of my brackets are just chalk. Like at the end of the day, I can't pick
any. Yeah. No. Yeah, it's fair. So. For today's games, I already missed the first one because I had Arkansas beating Ole Miss. And welcome to March. What a game. That was awesome. 83-day. I don't know if you saw that in a three-pointer at the buzzer, basically.
Yep.
Ole Miss. Yep. So Ole Miss took them out. Ruined that one. I had A&M and Texas. I had A&M winning that one. I had Missouri moving on against Mississippi State. Oklahoma losing to Kentucky tonight. So basically, coming down to it, I have my final four in the SEC. I have Auburn playing Tennessee and Florida playing Bama. Just kind of like you said, these are the top dogs in the SEC. I've got a rematch again with Auburn-Bama, and I'm going to take Auburn. To me, Auburn is one of the most complete, best teams in the country right now. So, barring a setback, I they're the best team to me, top to bottom, depth-wise, how they play. They play good defense. If you need to outscore a team by scoring 100 points, they can do that also. So, to me, the top two teams in the country right now is Auburn and Houston. So, I'm going to say Auburn just clears the table and runs it and wins the SEC also.
All right. I like that pick. All right, moving on to the conference that we hail from, the Big Ten, the good old, I mean, you know, what up? So
I got a good one on this one.
Yeah. Well, I've got
going frosty on it.
I've got Michigan State over Purdue for the final.
My pull Lee Corso. Not so fast.
Not so fast, my friend.
I don't have a pencil, a mask to put on here. I don't got any headgear to put on here. No, I have the upset of the tournament. I have Oregon upsetting Michigan State. I think Oregon can, and I think they will upset Michigan State. Oregon is a really good team. They just fell into some bad luck in the middle of the season. And they lost like four games in a row. It was like four or five in a row, right in the middle of the season. And that's what they just like kind of dropped off the table. But now they've won eight in a row. And they have some depth and really good players on that team. So I think Oregon can stand up to Michigan State and beat them. I actually had in my finals the final fours with the Big Ten, I have Oregon, Wisconsin, and then Maryland and Purdue. I have Oregon winning it all. I have Oregon taking the Big Ten this year. I had a hard time choosing between Maryland and Purdue because Maryland's a really hot team right now too, and they play really well. But I think Purdue kind of gets their shit together, and it's going to be Oregon-Purdue in the finals for the Big Ten with Oregon winning it all.
All right. Wow. Good. Big old surprise. Like that.
Yeah. I'm going to Oregon. I'm hot on them.
All right. Now we're moving on to the most ugliest basketball court on planet Earth right now, the Big 12 tournament. Please do not watch this. Save your eyes, guys. Like, just look at the stats. Look at the scoreboard. You know, what have you. Anything but watching the actual game. Like, yeah. Good night. Like, it was so hard. Like, I turned it on to the women's Big 12 tournament. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. The men aren't going to play on the same court. No, they are. Like,
it's not like there's multiple stadiums you could play at.
At the end of the day, I don't care what stadium you're playing at. Don't play on a court like that. Like, play on any other kind of court, basketball court. Like, geez. What?
I turned on. I think what game was I watching?
Who was the person that said, "Yeah, this looks great. Let's play
this
basketball."
This looks great. I think I put on the Cincy Iowa State game, and I was like, "What are they playing on right now? What is this court?"
Yeah, it's not pretty at all, for sure.
Yeah, it was weird.
So for my Big Ten final, I've got Houston against Texas Tech. Big 12, sorry.
Houston and Texas Tech.
Houston, Texas Tech. Right now they are in their quarterfinals. BYU beat Iowa State. I actually had Iowa State, so that one already went wrong. Unfortunately, I've got Arizona beating Kansas to make it into the semifinals.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yep, that's the kind of same. The only one different I have is I have Kansas beating Arizona again as the equalizer game.
Gotcha.
I had Iowa State, Houston, Texas Tech, Kansas, and I have Houston and Kansas in the finals, but I'm taking, like, same reasoning I took Auburn, I'm taking Houston, because to me, if it's not Auburn, Houston to me is the best team in the country as well. Like, they play such good defense, and the hard thing about Houston is they play really good defense, but they shoot lights out on threes. Like, they are, I think, like 40-something percent from three this year, and that's insane for a team that is known for defense. So they just keep the scoring low, and then when they need to, they just start shooting threes, and then you don't know what to do at that point as the opposing team. So, yep, I'm taking Houston.
All right.
All the way.
I like that. I mean, they are the favorites, and we're both picking them, so hop on board. Choo-choo.
It's hard not to pick them.
All right, so moving on to the Big East. I've got the heavy favorites of St. John's in the Big East.
Yeah, to win it's hard not to all. Pick them.
It's very hard to not pick them, but I got them matched up against UConn because UConn has had a tough season, but they seem to always figure out how to get it done in March, and yeah, they could be that surprise team there in the final, and they could possibly beat St. John's. And then moving on to the American, I've got Memphis winning it all.
It's going to be hard to beat Memphis because they're kind of like the powerhouse in that conference right now.
Yeah, they are the number one seed in the American. They're pulled up here. So, yeah, they're both waiting. Yeah, Memphis is already matched up with Utah State for tomorrow. So they'd probably be either North Texas or UAB, Kyle. Who do you think? Those are the 2 and 3 seed. The 4 seed is Tulane.
It's kind of tough. North Texas has actually had a pretty good season this year, too.
Or you could go with the teams that are playing today. You got Temple, Tulsa to move on to play either team, and then Eastern Carolina, UTSA to play either team as well. But that's the thing is, their records aren't pretty. Eastern Carolina looks pretty good as with just their record, just looking at it.
But yeah.
North Texas, Memphis, and Memphis winning it all.
Yeah, and that's a safe bet. I don't think there's a team that's really gonna. I'm sure. I mean, like we said, it's March. Crazier things have happened. But yeah, Memphis is the safest pick to take out of that one.
All right, and then I'm moving it on to the Mountain West, one of the other regions that we keep track of. I've picked New Mexico, the number one seed as well, to win this. They are winning 46-40 right now in their quarterfinal against San Jose State. They're a good team. They could easily match up, I believe, would be Boise State, which is a lower seed. They're not the top 4 seeds, but Boise State has been having a pretty good basketball season as of late.
They have. They have a good season.
I really want to go with UNLV. So New Mexico, UNLV for the championship.
New Mexico all the way.
And New Mexico wins. Yeah, all right.
That's safe.
And then from there, Kyle, the big old Maction.
The best conference in basketball. The Mac.
Get some Mac action. Akron. Yep. They are the number one seed. Easy. They won against Bowling Green.
Really good team.
Toledo has won already. Miami of Ohio is in action as of right now against Eastern Michigan, and then Western Michigan against Kent State in the quarterfinals. So
I want to say Akron preseason was actually in the top 25, if I'm not mistaken. They're a good team.
They were.
Yeah, so. They were like 18 or something like that to begin the season. So, you can't not pick them. They're easily the best team in that conference.
So, yeah, Akron and Toledo already in that semifinal matchup. I'm going to take Western Michigan. No, I'm just kidding. They're 12-19. We're going to go with good old Miami of Ohio to play Akron and Akron to win it all.
That's fair. It's good. Yeah, it's hard not to pick Akron in that one.
No. So, all right. After that, all that basketball talk some more a little bit with the upcoming week. Top 5 games to watch.
I mean, this one was kind of hard to do because it's like
this is the way I'm going, Kyle. Like, let's just be safe.
I'm gonna predict the games, and these are what I want to happen.
Let's just play it safe. SEC championship, ACC championship, Big Ten championship.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's pretty easy. Hockey. Let me go back to my brackets here. So, I'll start us off. So the top 5 games that I would, honestly like to see out of like the Big Ten, I want to see Oregon-Michigan State game. I think that game's going to be really good. Okay. That's easily going to be, that was already in my top games, was the Oregon-Michigan State for the upcoming week. Now it is an upcoming
for sure. It is definitely an upcoming tomorrow.
It is for sure happening. So that was one. I could say the Illinois-Maryland game because I think that game would be pretty good. But I'll keep it simple. I'm going to go one for each one. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to go – I'm predicting you here, Auburn-Alabama. Okay. Like we just said, SC Championship. I think it's going to be Auburn. Honestly, either way, Auburn-Alabama, Florida-Auburn, Florida-Tennessee. Like any of those games are going to be really good. So I think the SC Championship game is going to be just like kind of a fireworks game.
Yep.
And I think whether it's Texas Tech or Kansas, I think the Houston game against them is going to be a really fun game to watch also. Can't really pick against it. And then with ACC.
I am.
Yeah. I mean, with the ACC, for different I don't reasons. Know. Like, yeah. With the ACC, the game's going on, I'm watching. That's why I'm looking up right now. I'm like, I want to say UNC Duke. But this game's kind of really close, and it's – I don't know. I'd like to see UNC Duke again. I'd like to see round three. So those would be my four.
Okay.
My five is going to be, obviously, tomorrow's game, Detroit, Carolina.
Yep. I've got that in my top five games to watch as well. Go Wings.
I'll be there live reporting.
So I wish I could go. I got to work a Gators basketball game at the same time. Yep. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I've got, the Red Wings-Canes game tomorrow night, and then I've got Stars and the Jets going on tomorrow as well.
Oh, that'd be good, yeah, that'd be good
in
game.
My top five games. And then, to round out the top five, I've got the three Big Ten, SEC, ACC championships. I don't care who's in these championships. These championships always deliver on what they are supposed to be and how the game is supposed to go. Hopefully it doesn't turn out to be like the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's fair.
Going with some predictions, since you've kind of covered your predictions a little bit.
Well, hold on. We'll have fun with this one here on mine, right, because I just kind of listed out like 100 of them. So
I know.
I'll let you ask me. Well, so with the SEC, I'll just put it down on the table. If it's Auburn, Tennessee, I'm taking Auburn.
Gotcha.
If it's
Auburn, Tennessee, it's the 1-4 seed.
Yeah, well, they'll play in the semifinals.
Gotcha. Okay, if they are playing in the semifinals, I gotcha.
Yep. So let's say Auburn wins and it's Bama, I'm going to take Auburn.
Gotcha.
If Tennessee wins against Bama, I'm going to take Bama.
You mean against Auburn?
Yep. If it's Florida against Auburn, I'm taking Auburn.
Gotcha.
Bama and Tennessee, I'm taking Bama. I think I just said that one.
Yeah, you did.
So I'm not taking if Tennessee upsets Auburn, I'm not taking Tennessee. I'm going to take either Florida or Bama.
Gotcha. Or
if Auburn wins, I'm taking Auburn.
No matter what.
Yep.
All right, that makes sense.
We already talked about it. I'm taking Oregon over Michigan State. I'm taking Houston over. No, we'll have fun with this one. I'm taking Houston over Kansas, but I'm going to take Texas Tech over Houston if it's Texas Tech.
Oh, I like
that. Surprise pick.
The good old upset prediction.
Upsets it.
The good old upset prediction right there.
Texas Tech wins it, and I'm taking care of Detroit because that's on part of my parlays. Is Detroit's going to stay hot, hopefully, and ride this last game and go into Carolina and win.
Yep, I hear that for sure. I'm with you on that one. Yeah, my upset prediction actually here, Kyle, is hockey. I think the Red Wings turn one win into two. So the upset prediction, though, would be the Red Wings over the Golden Knights, which is later on.
Okay. Yep, that would be a good upset.
So that's my upset prediction of the week, with the Wings winning over the Canes as a gut prediction, because I've chosen the Red Wings-Canes game as my top five to watch. I've got the Stars over the Jets in that game, right? And then, obviously, I'm going to go back and I'm going to do Devils over the Tigers for the ACC, right?
Okay.
And then I've got Florida over Auburn for the SEC. And then I've got, for the Big Ten, I've got Michigan State over Purdue. Just kind of going repetitive a little bit there, but I've got to put them in my gut predictions because these are my top five games to watch. Just rinse and repeat. But I have a game to not watch. All right. Let's after all this, game to not watch, the Big 12 championship. I repeat myself. Save your eyes. Do not watch that basketball court.
It's hard to watch the game, and it's going to be a good game. It's just hard to watch them.
It's like, exactly. Just like turn it on, make it background noise. Listen to the radio feed of it if you have to. Just save your eyes for.
Yeah.
Like I am warning you. This basketball court is so. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I'll throw in my honorable mention for an upset of the week. I'm actually taking Iowa to upset Illinois tonight.
Okay. I like that.
Yep. I have a sneaky feeling. Also, because I played a preseason parlay way back before the season started, and all I need is Iowa to make the tournament. So I need them to start winning these games here.
I hear that. All right. Moving on to some gambling men, the best part of our show here. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Problems with gambling, please call the gambling helpline at 1-800-GAMBLER.
We're not professionals. Don't take our advice.
Please do not take our advice.
If you lose your money, it's on you, not us.
Speaking of gambling, all right, the three-leg parlay that I've got going this week. I went 2-for-1 last week. Not too bad. What I've got going this week.
I did terrible.
I'm so sorry. Dang.
Yeah, it was bad.
I've got tonight the Pistons money line over the Wizards. Guess where it's sitting, Kyle? At a good old NBA -800.
Holy crap. What's the point of even throwing that one on there?
just to tell you, like, because like I've been telling you week in and week out, don't bet on the NBA because the odds are just like this. It's just like when you get a favorite team over a team that's not so favored, this is what the odds are. So I'm just throwing this into the three-leg parlay just to prove my point, right? I'm putting the Red Wings money line over the Canes in there, and then the Stars money line over the Jets. Red Wings money line over the Canes is sitting at +190, and then the Stars over the Jets is sitting at +110. A total of +585. $10 pays out $68.
Oh, nice. That's actually pretty good. Yeah, like I said, I didn't do good on mine. I went 0 for 3. For my one tonight, I pretty much did one for tonight for my three-leg parlay. I forgot to write down what my actual... I have the bets down. I was trying to pull up real quick my where's that? The actual odds that I had on it. Okay, here it is. So my three-leg parlay, I had the, like I said, I think my upset of the week with Iowa, Illinois. So I'm taking Iowa at +425. I'm going to take Texas Tech over Baylor -280, Kentucky over Oklahoma tonight at -290 to give me a final odds of, I think it was plus, it's not showing me. It was like +840. For that one. So the three-leg probably had +840 on that.
Okay. I like that.
Pretty much need Iowa to hit on that one. That's going to be the tough one.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. I mean, yeah. Go Hawkeyes, I guess.
Yeah. My honorable mention was, like, if you wanted to take one of those, like, tough games, like the Iowa game or something, then you want to throw in maybe a little bit better odds, even odds. I said to take the UNC money line against Wake Forest, and right now it's looking like it's paying off. So, yeah, that was my honorable mention for that. My, like, separate leg that if you wanted to throw one in, or maybe switch it in and out, I like the UNC money line.
Gotcha.
Right now as it's going on.
Nice. My honorable mention this week is the Nearest to Pin competition on hole 17 at the Players. That's a little thing that I like to watch and bet on, especially just because I'm getting a little bit bored of watching all this basketball. I'm just going to turn the channel to the Players competition down there in TPC Sawgrass.
Hold up. You just said you're bored of watching basketball, so I have to watch golf.
I mean,
hey, we both play golf. We both love playing golf, but I think that might be the craziest statement I've ever heard from someone.
Hey, what? Watching?
I'm bored watching this sport, so I'm going to watch the most boring sport there is to watch.
It's fun watching them on 17 try to get them on the island there at the par 3. Like, that's just good entertainment. So
it is.
All right, so parlay. I'm taking the Red Wings Canes game for my same game parlay. I don't know if you're doing the same thing or not.
I'm doing the same.
Obviously, don't have any odds right now, but really all my things are players. So I've got DeBrincat, two or more shots on goal. I've got an Aho anytime goal, and then Larkin to don't get one say, or more points. What?
I was going to say, holy crap, are you about to literally take the exact same thing I just did on mine? No, yeah, because I went two softies and one hard one. So my hard one with it is Detroit Moneyline. Like you said, it's like plus 180 right now, plus 190.
Yep.
So I did Detroit Moneyline, and then I did DeBrincat two plus shots, Aho two plus shots for my three together. So
okay.
All together, I mean, those two are only like the DeBrincat and Aho two shots are probably only going to get you maybe like minus 250, minus 300 each. So if I had to guess on it, it's those three leg parlay. You pretty much need the Detroit money line, obviously, to hit because that's your big money one. I think it's probably going to be like a plus 300, plus 250. It's not going to be crazy odds, but I don't like I've talked about it before. I don't like doing same game parlays where it's astronomical odds. Those are so hard to hit. They're harder to hit than actual just like random parlays to hit with astronomical odds because you need a lot to happen all in one game. And if you just have one thing wrong, like how the game flow is, it can really mess up your same game parlay.
Gotcha. All right. And so, then yeah. Top three player props of the week, Kyle. What you got? Keep going.
I went with my hopefulness with Iowa, Illinois. So I have two of my players in that one. I have Peyton Sanford. He averages like 17 points a game, and he's shown all year that he could do nothing in a first half and just shoot lights out in the second half. So I took Peyton Sanford to make at least two threes in the game. I took Illinois' freshman Euro sensation, Jaconis. He's going to make about two threes a game. So I have both of them making at least two threes. And then I have a Larkin point. I think he's due for another either a goal or assist or a power play goal. So I think he's going to get a point.
All right. Nice. Well, all my three player props of the week have to do with the conference tournaments that are going on right now. So
that's nice.
Listen up and listen good. I got Juwan Roberts getting a double-double for Houston at some point in this conference tournament. I would like for you to hit on that more or less in the semifinal or in the final if they make it to those, right? And then Kadarius.
That's not fair.
I'm just being honest, like,
that's just like me going, I think RJ Davis will make 1-3 at some point in this tournament. You gotta pick a game.
Well, I mean, all right.
Hold on, let me bring these brackets back out. Let's look at these games.
All right. And then I've got Kadarius Richmond getting a triple double. He's obviously gonna get another double double here in this tournament for the Big East.
Are you about to bet on him getting another triple double?
No, I'm going to bet on him getting a double double. It would that's be fair. Fun get a little froggy if you want to get a little froggy with it, but I don't I don't see him getting another triple.
I'll lose money on that one.
He might get a triple double first round of the NCAA tournament, but we'll just see about that.
No.
You never know. Yeah, you never know.
That's a no for me on that one.
And then I've got Alex Condon for Florida getting a double-double in the SEC tournament against maybe the first team that they play in the quarterfinals or maybe semifinals. And then if they make it to the championship, definitely hit on Condon getting a double-double in the championship.
Okay. I'll throw my little honorable mention, even though I don't have it written down. I'm going to go with Oregon's Nate Biddle to get a double-double against Michigan State.
There you go. All right. Now, do not bet on. I'm going to say, do not bet on any team lower than a 4 seed. And no, I am not talking about this conference tournament alone. If you literally think a 4 seed or anybody lower than a 4 seed is going to win it all, You better like turn your bracket in and just say, hey, just rip this up for me.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. It's going to be a hard one to do if these teams are really good in those top 3 seeds.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. My don't bet on it is Michigan getting out of the first round of the tournament. So
yeah. And then do not bet on these conference tournament outcomes, as in the over-unders or, you know, the little slide of the point, you know, spread. So just don't do it.
No, I just had the one. Don't bet on Michigan.
Yeah,
I'm gonna keep it simple.
Keep it simple. All right.
I had don't bet on Wisconsin Northwestern, but that game already happened. So
yeah, don't bet on it. Don't go back. Don't do and it. Bet
already
on
happened.
It.
Yeah, don't go back.
Don't go back. All right, Homeward Bound. A little bit of football talk, Kyle. We got some moves happening.
Got some
lines.
Players on the move. Got some.
Cut Za'Darius Smith. We get this guy from Cleveland just to make a difference for us on the defensive end, and we cut him. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
He's older. I think they're going to try to get someone younger. I don't know who, but I was thinking they might go after Joey Bosa, but.
No. I don't know, but it put question marks in my head. It was like just give the guy a chance, I guess. I don't know. But I guess they have different plans in mind. I'm not a football nerd, so. Packers not really making any big moves in the offseason. They do grab two good defensemen that are right around the 50s, 60s ranked in the waiver wire, as they were calling it. I think
They haven't done anything crazy. They were in talks of maybe trading for Trey Hendrickson for the Bengals, but I think the asking price is going to be too much.
Yeah.
For what they want to give up. So yeah, they've been sleeping. They're not usually a big free agency guy. It's just like kind of how the Bears are.
Yeah.
And Bears just always go after everybody in the free agency. And then,
well, the Bears have actually made some pretty good moves here recently.
No, that's what I'm saying. They do it every year. Bears always go after and have like they're the preseason champs every year. Off-season champs. They're like Ohio State.
All right. And then Panthers, they grab Rico Dowdle from the Cowboys as a running back.
I liked it.
I feel like that's a good grab for them and for them to help
It was a smart grab because Jonathan Brooks is probably not going to be ready this year because of his injury last year. So he's going to probably be out for most of this year. And they only signed him for a 1 year. It was like 1 year, $13 million or something like that. So it was basically a stopgap backup running back until Brooks can come back the following year, in 2026. So it's good because now you have two good running backs in there with you with Chuba and Rico Dowdle, so it'd be interesting. I'd like to see the Panthers kind of shore up some offensive line help.
Yeah.
And then maybe address either defense or another wide receiver. Maybe first round go after some offensive linemen or a good defensive player. Maybe like a round three pick for your wide receiver. So I still think they can make moves. I mean, Panthers could go get Cooper Kupp if they wanted to. That'd be pretty cool to give at least – he still has some left in the tank and give Bryce Young some help.
Oh, for sure. And moving on to basketball. Well, I had Deeks needed to win the ACC to get into the NCAA, and that looks like that has fallen short now. Carolina being
the ride over
68.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a round three.
We have a round three Duke, between Carolina and Duke due for tomorrow. Oh, boy. Buckled up. All right, and then the Wolfpack, they fire their head coach.
Hey, I called it. Keats. I called it.
Who do we think's next up, like, for them?
I think they need to go after I can't think of his name right now.
Can't think of the school?
Will Wade.
Will Wade. No,
the coach's name. Will Wade, I think.
Do you know who he coaches?
He was the Florida's old coach. Yeah, Will Wade.
Yeah.
He was Florida's old coach, wasn't he?
Probably Florida State, I think. I don't remember Will Wade coaching Florida.
Oh no, he was LSU's coach when he got in trouble.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah, LSU. There you go.
He's an unbelievable coach, and that'd be an awesome hire if they go after and get him. Because right now he's just at McNeese State. He's been all over the place, but like overall, I'm looking at his stats. He's 243-104. Awesome stats.
Yep.
With McNeese, he's 49-8. He turned that team around that quickly. When he went to LSU, he turned LSU and made them really good and then left, and then LSU sucked again. So I'd open blank check how much to get Will Wade here. And I think he could turn NC State's season or like their basically their team around pretty quickly, especially now with NIL. You can just get anybody you want. It'd be a good hire for NC State to be relevant again.
Yeah. And then the Wolverines somehow make Sparty mad for no reason. Like, what is this, guys? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, that.
It's a 25-year tradition. I am 33 years old. I did not know that this was a tradition.
25 years. I never years. Actually knew it was a tradition either.
Like, that's the thing. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I've seen it happen. Like, watching. I've seen it happen. I never knew it was a tradition. I was like, oh, cool. He's just kissing the court to leave. And
yeah.
It's never happened during an actual.
Yeah.
Like, how about not during the actual game? Like, call a timeout and do it.
Yeah, or just not do it while you're having free throws where we're standing at the center court, because where else are you supposed to stand for free throws? Like, you only have room for three guys down there in the paint. Yeah, like, you have the one free throw person.
I mean, obviously,
and two more guys. Where else are we going to stand?
I mean, obviously we're biased with Michigan, but it just doesn't make sense to me. Like, you already had a guy kiss the court.
Yeah,
and they were in the same spot, and they just let him go. He's like, all right, cool. He gets the spot he got. Nothing happened. Yeah. And Holloman has to come up and just shove two freshmen,
it's like,
play.
It's got to be perfect center court.
Yeah, like, get out of here, dude. Like, just what are you doing? And then, you push a guy, and then all of Michigan State fans scream victim. Like, oh, my God, see, look at how Michigan, they're so dirty. It's like, dude, you're the one that went up there and shoved them. They're just standing there.
Let me just quote this for the Michigan State fans, just to put this fact out there. Since the year 2000, so you say it's a 25-year tradition. It is 2025 now, right? Since 2000, we have only played three times on your senior night. Three out of 25 years. Like, how are we supposed to know that this is a tradition? This is not like Michigan, Ohio State, where it happens at the end of every single season. It's not. It's not the same. Like, the basketball schedule ends up completely different than what a football schedule is. You're going to play somebody different at the end of the season, no matter what. Like, there's nothing you can do about it because it's up to the league. It's not up to you. Yes, I would actually like to see this happen again, where you have, because you had Michigan State on the last day of the week. You had Carolina Duke on the last day of, like, last actual game of the season. You had USC UCLA for the last game of the season. Like, I would like to see more of that, if you ask me. Like, because Florida Tennessee, they had both their matchups end up early on in the season. I would love to see Florida take on Tennessee for the last game of the season. That would have been
awesome game to watch.
Like why not just completely buy into this? Yeah,
my main two issues were: call a timeout and have your players do it. If you want to do it so bad and have it perfect, call a timeout and then let your players sub out. Like most coaches do when they want to sub someone out to give them attention, they call a timeout and let them sub out. My other issue is you already had a player kiss it and no issue happened. And then the Michigan State player, no one said anything to Holloman, just comes running up and gives him a shove. Like, to me, it's stupid. Stop bitching and moaning. Just do it. Call a timeout and do it if you want to do it. Like, or just go do it and get off the court. Or not just in the middle of free throws.
Or just nicely ask us to just move aside a little bit. Yeah, not push us aside.
Or just literally walk up there and, hey, can you move over so like they can do the as is tradition for them, I guess, apparently.
As is tradition.
But as is tradition, they just, that no one knows about but Michigan State fans, and then they cry victim. So, it's little bro doing little bro things as usual.
Yeah. All right, so moving on to some baseball. Tigers get rated number one farm teams. Hey, yeah. Liking that.
Yeah. Hey, they always are, but they just never can hold on to them.
Have to trade them away for other stuff.
Well, it's not that they have to trade them away. It's like they have the best players. They come in and play like 3 years, and then they just can't afford to keep them there.
Yep, pretty much. And then some tough news for the Yankees. Garrett Cole out for the complete season.
That hurt. Not good. Garrett Cole's out. Luis Gil's out. And then, oh, man, who else was it? Oh, and Stanton's hurt, as usual. As is tradition. Whoa. As is tradition on
I just started with the one, and you just start rattling off all, like, dang.
Right. Yeah, they're starting rotations. They're going to be looking to make a trade here to get another player in because, yeah, Luis Hill is going to be our number two or actually our number three pitcher this year, and Garrett Cole is our number one. So now we're down to 2, 4, and 5.
Yay.
So they're going to have to start hitting some homers.
Yep. All right. And then Red Wings finally snapping a 6-game losing streak yesterday against the Buffalo Sabres. Thank goodness.
They are in emergency mode. I mean, I'm not going to even fault Red. Like, they haven't played bad. Like, they have had the worst luck known to hockey gods. It's the last three games. I mean, going back to the Columbus games where this started, like, they could have won the Columbus game. They should have won the second game, the outdoor game. I don't want to go back into that crap.
Yeah.
Then they lost. Yeah, they lost two after that were bad. But it was like the other two, they outshot them like 46-20 in every game that they were playing and losing. They just did not get any luck. They lost to Ottawa and they scored with no time left, but it was, I think it went to zero like a foot before the puck crossed the line to tie the game. So it was like they had no luck.
I saw that picture. I remember. They are kind of,
They're kind of in an emergency mode right now. They need to win against Carolina. They got to get a roll. They got to get going here because the schedule doesn't look easier for them because they have the hardest strength of schedule left in all of NHL. They're number one. So
and that's why I have my two picks of the week. Them being the Canes and then making the upset pick of the week, them being the
Vegas,
and they get a good win streak rolling, and that's what they need for sure.
They're gonna have to play good and keep shooting. I mean, I'm happy they're finally out shooting teams, but they got to start scoring again, and then hopefully this carries over from the Buffalo game where they just put up 7 with no empty netters. So.
Yeah. All right, and then Canes, they trade away Rantanen to the Stars.
I had a feeling they would, and I'm not upset. They got what they got out of it. I mean, it sucks because you end up losing. Like, overall, you kind of just basically made it a trade. You traded Natchez and, like, a couple second-rounders.
Yeah.
And got back basically, like, Andrury, and you got back basically Taylor Hall and 2 first-rounders. So it looks good for them for future, but like the only problem I have with the Hurricanes is you're not looking for the future with this team. You're a now team right now, so you need to be playing to win now and making decisions to win now. Yeah, it's great you got your 2 first rounders. That's good for your future, but like that'd be cool if it was like the Red Wings or the Sharks. But it's like you kind of just gave up a lot of good players, or you gave up one of your best players to get future considerations.
I feel the same way. They gave up a lot just for this guy, and just to give him up again is not a good look for them.
I'm glad they got something out of it. They still got something, but
it's not. To me, it wasn't enough to what they gave up.
I mean, it was cool because the two guys they got out of the trade to Dallas scored 3 goals against Winnipeg. Basically, one dude had 2 goals, and the other one had 1 goal. So it was pretty cool. They just like, oh, well, look at the replacements. They're doing good. But now, I'm glad they got something out of it, but honestly, I don't know. Do you just keep Rantanen even though you know you're not going to re-sign him and just hope you win the cup this year, kind of like they did with Guentzel last year? It's a tough spot to be in. It could have been worse. They could have literally just gotten like nothing for Rantanen, or risk it, keep Rantanen, and lose in the first round. Like, at least you know you got something out of it. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how it plays out.
All right, moving on to some basketball. The Pistons are somehow playing better than the Red Wings. They are still sitting in 6th place, 37-29, 13.5 games out. They are tied with 2 other teams sitting there at the 13 games out, with the Indiana Pacers. And I can't remember the other team. Give me a second here. But, yeah, they could easily become the 5th or 4th team if they get a couple more wins, especially with the very high favored, game tonight against the Wizards. So, yeah, they're tied with Indiana and Milwaukee. Both Milwaukee and Indiana are at 36-28. So, 37-29. Why are we behind? Probably because we have the extra loss. We play 2 more games to both these teams. What? All right, NBA makes no sense to me still. Moving on to other sports that makes no sense to us. Wrexham keeping pace right now. They're keeping pace and can take the second spot in the table with a win on Saturday. They are playing literally the team that are right in front of them in the second spot, and that team is the Sounders, something like that. What was their names? Come on, ESPN, work with me here.
The soccer team.
The soccer team, yeah.
It's the team.
Wycombe Wanderers. So this is the team that's right in front of them. They play at 11 a.m. on the 15th on Saturday. With a win, they take over that second spot. With a draw, they stay at their spot in third, or a loss as well, they stay in the same spot. But they get a point with a draw. They get, I think, 3 points with a win. I'm going to have to make sure I'm right on those facts, but I believe that's how that works.
Dang it, soccer. Why are you confusing?
Why are you so confusing? Makes sense. Make it make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
All right, and with that, we will wrap up this episode of This and That Podcasting Podcast. We will be back next week on Wednesday. We will look back on how we did with our top five games of the week compared to the actual top five games. Anything fantasy will be probably...
The fantasy is probably going to be a no because we're going to do a live fill-out bracket.
Oh, I have to fill out my
bracket.
Since
we're doing it on Wednesday.
On Wednesday.
No. You don't have to fill it out. We're filling him out on the podcast.
All right.
Next week on Wednesday.
So don't get too trigger happy then there, Alex, with filling it out on Monday.
Keep your pen down.
Because I'm going to want to fill it out on Monday.
Oh, I mean, I'm going to be filling out like 100 of them, but we're filling one out on Wednesday.
All right. So tune in to see how that goes and see if we made more money gambling. I'm Alex Bauer.
And I'm Kyle Darbus.
Y'all have a good rest of your day. Make sure you like, subscribe, and tune in next week on Wednesday. Bang.
What the? Bang.
No, don't play again. Perfect. Jesus.
Stay here, Tilly.